Yeah, thank you very much, Patrick. I want to draw your attention on an aspect in the reintroduction of Atlantic salmon which has to do with an adaptation. You can observe a pre-adaptation, you can observe in a potential donor stock. As you remember, the people at the Rhine, it wasn't only the Germans, the Dutch too, the French as well, we wiped out our population in the 1950s. So we had no salmon left, no genetic base to build up a population again. We had to start from zero. This is a different situation to your people at the Allier, where you had at least some fish left and you could start a breeding program and foster your ancient population. We had to start from zero. And we had a lot of discussion what source to use for this reintroduction process. We had this graph already, the historical distribution of salmon in the Rhine. You see, there's so many different rivers with so many possibilities of adaptation to these specific river conditions that it, from the start, was really difficult to actually get an idea of what sort of adaptation might be very important or less important in a potential donor stock. And during or in the beginning, we used many stocks. We had a so-called mixed stock strategy. Meant we bought all sorts of salmon from Ireland, from France, from Denmark, Sweden, Scotland, Spain, even Spain, Norway, and we all threw them in. And the idea was that God or evolution or whoever will do the rest. We thought that the better sources, the better strains, the better adapted strains would in the end win this race. And we ended up with having absolutely no information, particularly at the beginning of genetics. We had absolutely no information about returners, return rates, performance in the wild. Most fish were not marked, and it was a big confusion. So in the 2003-2004, we had this discussion at the International Commission for the Protection of the Rhine to change the strategy and give it more of a concept. And we came to the conclusion that we first should reduce our stocks, maybe have two or three stocks running in the Rhine altogether. Now, as you see, you've seen this picture before. The distribution of Atlantic salmon is amazing. On the European side, they lived or used to live in Portugal, now live in Spain, and up the way all the way to northern Russia, with extremely different climatic conditions. And these different climatic conditions are quite important in context of adaptation. Well, first we tested a few strains in the Middle Rhine section. I did some work on stocking experience. We noticed that the growth of salmon was pretty good. We had, as you see on top left, the age 0+ salmon in autumn had up to 11 centimeters. We had two modal groups of smolts, year class 1 and year class 2, and the emigration of the smolts started in March and ended in May. And all these numbers and figures are pretty much that what we know from the ancient population in this area. So apparently the environment in this case dictated a lot of the performance of the timing of the fish, if you want. We also had premature, so-called precocious par in all age classes. So we had mature male fish at the size of six, seven centimeters. We have resident pars, not many, but most resident pars are male. We had one female. And the generation time in this part of the river is relatively short, with the age of returners commonly varies between 2+ and 5+. But as you know, the proportion of multi-sea winter fish is strongly stock specific, and this is data from mixed stocks, so I have to keep this in mind. Now, my dear colleague Carlos Garcia de Leonis once said, yesterday's environment dictates tomorrow's adaptations. That's a very interesting sentence, a very interesting phrase, because it means that the fish you buy, they come with the adaptations of the past, and you want to adapt them to the future in your river. And that's quite difficult. Well, this genetic differentiation of the populations is based on the homing to native rivers. So it's this homing means you have an isolation of populations. And these native rivers vary in size, in gradient, in water temperature and temperature regime, water chemistry, flow, and many other environmental factors. As you remember, from Portugal to northern Russia, these conditions are extremely different. And one factor which I consider to be very important, one factor is the spawning time of populations. And this spawning time is stock-specific and strongly under genetic control. Why is that so? Well, salmon spawn at different times in different rivers, and it has a high heritability in salmonid fishes. So the timing correlates with water temperature during the incubation, and the spawning time between cold river and warm river populations can differ between 5 to 6 months. Means in the far north, where it's cold and the incubation takes a long time, the fish start to spawn early. That's probably September. Whereabouts in the southwestern populations in Spain, the spawning happens in January, sometimes up to February. So it's a huge difference. And even in large river systems, the spawning in upper colder reaches may occur earlier than further downstream in the lower reaches, where it's much later. And the biological factor, the biological sense is that the timing of reproduction ensures an optimal timing of hatching and initial feeding for the offspring. And in contrast, bad timing leads to mass mortality when the juveniles try to start the first feeding or are still in the gravel at certain conditions. And mass mortality in the first weeks after emergence due to starvation, predation, and drift are very severe factors in the first days and weeks of a young salmon. Another good colleague is Gerd Holdensgaard from Denmark, from the Danish Center of Wildlax. And he did a very interesting thing. He tried to reintroduce salmon to River Gudenau. Didn't work because they didn't get rid of the obstacle, which is a huge dam. But what he did is he imported fish from different sources and marked them and put them in the water as smolts. So all these fish were differently marked, and they were running in the same river at the same time. And he noted the spawning time of these different strains. And he noted that over many generations, the spawning time was the same spawning time as it used to be in the natal, in the home river. It didn't change. After many generations, if you look at the Etran would spawn in the middle of November, the Scottish Conon were in the beginning of December. This is the peak time spawning. The line is the whole spawning period, and the numbers show you the peak time. This is when 50% of the female have spawned. And this went on for years. And this inspired me to have a look at the historical spawning time of the fish in my region, the River Sieg. That's the one on the bottom, Sieg historical. There's two numbers. The first number is 50% of the females had spawned, and three means 50% of the eggs were laid in the hatchery. And you see that the spawning time of River Sieg matches very well with the spawning time of the Etran. And I just talked to Patrick Martin about the spawning time of Valier. It's sort of end of November. That it would have matched as well, at least much, much better than the spawning time of, let's say, the Irish Corrib in the middle of the graph, which is at the end of December. Fish which spawn at this time of the year in my rivers, their offspring has no chance to survive, because when when they want to start, these fish would have no chance. So the early spawning in the historical strain matches with the Etran, and this is why we used the Etran, which was available in these days, for the reintroduction process. Some more theoretical aspects. It's interesting, the female spawning time dictates the thermal regime the embryos, her embryos, experience during development, and to a large extent, their hatching and emergence time from gravel is fried. And the timing of reproduction is really, really, really important and ensures an optimal timing of hatching and initial feeding for the offspring. An optimal timing of hatching depends on flow conditions, temperature, prey abundance, predator abundance, and intra- and interspecific competition like the prior residence effect and so on. And as I said, bad timing leads to mass mortality in the first weeks after emergence. And because this early juvenile life is such a period of intense selection, it explains why the right spawning time, the genetic memory of the thermal regime of a river, is such an important factor in salmonids. And due to homing and the isolation, this adaptation can exist and can persist over many, many generations. And it's, as I said, population specific. And therefore, nowadays, we are reduced, for a start, the stocks in the River Rhine we're using. In the north of the line, the red line, we're using the Etran from Sweden. And in the southern part of the River Rhine system, this is the south of Germany, France, and Switzerland, the Allier is used. And as I know from my colleagues from the south, the spawning time of Allier matches very well with the historical spawning time of their summer as well. So it was probably a good choice to separate the River Rhine system in two and use the two different stocks with these adaptions. I think this is, we can skip this, that those survival rates and everything is pretty good from stocked fish, but we have natural reproduction, successful reproduction in various river systems in the Middle Rhine section since we are using Etran, and this is another indicator that it was a good idea to go for this stock. And this I showed this morning already. This is about the spawning success. And indeed, the year 2000, which is sort of here in the middle, this is where natural reproduction was observed to increase. And nowadays, quite a few, sometimes maybe 10 to 30% of the returners in this region are already second generation, which means wild fish. This we had this morning about the habitat. The conclusions are, again, that the reintroduction process is an adaptation process, and spawning time is an important factor. The documented natural reproduction show sometimes very high densities of wild fish, and this is a clear indicator that the reintroduction is working. And the Swedish strain Etron is reproducing successfully in many streams, maybe because of spawning time matching with the environmental conditions. And well, the Allier salmon so far didn't have the same chances as the starfish because the very good spawning grounds in the eel system, in the Bruch, for example, they are not accessible so far because there are still obstacles to be removed. So the data of the performance of the Allier are insufficient, but I'm quite optimistic that we get more data in the near future. And as I said, the return rate is still insufficient, but it should improve with our further adaptation processes and the evolution of new stocks in our system. Thanks.